Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. Milwaukee's restaurants are navigating a challenging balancing act during this pandemic. When the lockdown was first ordered in March, carryout was the only option allowed. Then, starting June 5th, with about a day's notice from the city, Milwaukee restaurants and bars were able to reopen dining spaces and outdoor seating. Those restaurants had to weigh capacity restrictions, social distancing requirements, and other safety measures to calculate whether operating was really worth it. After reopening dine-in services to the public, there are now over a dozen Milwaukee restaurants that have temporarily closed their doors again, as either employees or customers who entered their buildings have tested positive for the coronavirus. For the restaurant Lazy Susan in Milwaukee's Bayview neighborhood, they've remained open for carryout services only, and they don't plan to make dine-in services available anytime soon. Lazy Susan's chef and owner, AJ Dixon, joins Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski to talk about the challenges of adapting her restaurant shortly after the June 5th announcement was made.
AJ Dixon, welcome back to Lake Effect.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So on Friday, June 4th, the city of Milwaukee announced that bars and restaurants could open up the following day at 2 p.m. So what was your initial response to this sudden announcement?
It was no. And what the hell? Pardon my French. With everything going on in the city right now, are you kidding me? And, you know, a few of us other local businesses got on the phone together and talked about it. And I felt that it was kind of like a shot in the knees in terms of like a movement that's going on with the city. And that I felt that it was used as a distraction tactic to kind of, you know, pull people from one thing over to another thing. That's my personal feeling on it.
Right. Recently, you posted a picture of yourself with a sign that says, "In solidarity, we will stay closed. We will not be a distraction."
Correct. Because that's how I felt. Like, I felt like there are much bigger things to deal with and, you know, to focus on than bars and restaurants opening. And that movement needs the attention, not us.
And before the announcements, was there any communication before that? You know, rules, regulations, guidelines in place to help restaurants reopen?
Okay, so there is lots and lots and lots and lots of guidelines that have been going on. So you've got WITIC, you've got National Restaurant Association, you've got Wisconsin Restaurant Association, you've got, you know, even your distributors such as Sysco or Reinhardt or US Foods, and all of these places, as well as the CDC. Everyone has guidelines, quote, quote, guidelines for you to follow at your discretion. And what's going to work for me is not going to work for someone else. So it's kind of like, you know, you need to take all of these things and all of these lists, and it's very overwhelming, and read through all of them and go, okay, there's a similarity between all of them. So, you know, there's that, you know, like all of them say you should, you know, it's recommended to wear masks. Some suggest barriers, some do not suggest barriers. Some suggest, you know, gloves, some do not suggest gloves. So it's kind of like, you got to go through all of these things and just kind of take like, you know, what you think is going to work for your establishment and then figure out a way how to implement it. About 3 weeks ago, I took it upon myself that I compiled like a webinar for other business owners where I went through all of the guidelines that were out there at that current moment and put them all together and compacted, you know, all of the similarities together. So it wasn't like you were reading like four different types of guidelines, just to kind of streamline it. And then I took things that I felt were important that weren't listed in there, like things that you wouldn't think about, you know, on a daily basis. Like, for example, like if you have staff that has facial piercings, that's more areas of risk of possible transmission because they'll be more inclined to want to touch their faces. You know, it's like, you know, do you wear masks in the kitchen? Because, you know, the whole big thing right now is touching your face. But then if you're in a kitchen and you're trying to taste food, what are you doing? You're constantly taking your mask on and off, which means it's more hand-to-face contact. And these are all things that I felt needed to be discussed and different ways to implement and different ways to be safe in mitigating the risk of spreading coronavirus. And these are all things that like aren't listed in a lot of these guidelines. So the discussion was very real. And, you know, we held this PowerPoint and, you know, I did one for staff of other establishments if they wanted to choose some. And then I did some for business owners too.
So in contrast to that, what was the communication or guidelines like from the city when you first learned that you had to close dine-in services during the initial adjustment to the pandemic, you know, on the flip side of this?
Okay, so we chose to close pretty much before, you know, the actual we are closing kind of a thing. I knew it was coming. I called all my staff in. We had a staff meeting. The decision was we're not going to close because I can't afford to close at all. With this happening all over, I said the unemployment is going to be so backlogged. I said, you know, I suggested that I'm not laying anybody off. I suggested if you want to just file and get it in the pipeline. I had some staff members that like work one day a week that were kind of like, you know, they have full-time jobs and they were okay. They were like, you know, well, we'll give these hours to another staff member. And then we pretty much came up with a plan of we're just going to do takeout. We moved a cooler. We operate out of a window, and it was just like, we need to do this to survive and we need to do this to sustain. And like closing was not an option for us. So there was just it was a big shock kind of a thing. Like, is this really happening kind of a thing? So.
And since deciding to close and shift operations, how have you been doing so far in regards to running a takeaway business during a pandemic?
Yeah, it just sounds so funny. But not funny. It's not funny. We're doing okay. We could always be doing better. We could be doing a lot worse. Some weeks are better than others. Right now, we're doing Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays. We tried doing more days than that in the very beginning, and we just noticed that there wasn't that much of a drop. So we just kind of adjusted things differently. So we've been doing pre-order only for the day before. And the reason why I do this is because we're only doing one menu item a night. I'm creating enough work for the people that I have on staff. There is no waste. I'm ordering exactly what I need. I'm monitoring my expenses very carefully, which at a time like this is really, really important because there is really no error for waste or for mistakes, because right now we only have X amount of money coming in the door, and that's to pay staff and pay rent and, you know, pay vendors and things. So, I mean, some weeks could be better than others, but like ideally it's sustaining itself.
And at what point do you feel that it would not only just be safe, but fiscally worth it to open up your doors to dine-in service once again?
So right now, Eric's rearranging all the furniture in the restaurant just to see what that actually would look like with social distancing standards, meaning like the backs of your chairs have to be 6 feet from another chair back and a table. So it's not just your tables, it's the backs of your chairs. Outside dining is still 6 foot, right? You know, 6 foot, and that's back chair to back chair. Inside capacity does not affect your outside capacity. It just depends on, you know, how your tables can be spaced outside. With the city of Milwaukee doing the parklet program and the, you know, they're willing to extend, they're offering a pilot program for extending outdoor seating, then that means that the outside dining would have its own capacity as well. So we have capacity of 80. That means 25% of that is 20. Minus my staff, because they're included in that, which means in the all actuality, I'm probably looking at 7 to 12 people in here as customers. Now, for me to open up doors, to prep a menu, to do this, and to staff 12 people, even if I turned that three times, that's 36 people in a night. When we normally do 100 for brunch easily, and then we do, I would say, anywhere between 55 to 100, you know, a night, depending on the night of the week, you know, the rest of the week in general. Now, could I do that and supplement takeout? Yes. But is it worth it for me to prep a menu, X amount of food, hope that I sell it for those 12 people that I'm hoping are going to come in, you know, times three, meaning, you know, three turns a night or however that is. And even with the layout that we have, we're looking at maybe not even being able to seat all 12 people at once, because we may have to leave this table empty just because there's enough space to a point to accommodate this and not accommodate that. So I would feel it's probably worth it to me to be open more so with capacity at 50%, because then that opens it up to about 40. And then with staff, that means, you know, I'm probably, say, anywhere, you know, if I have anywhere between 5 and 7 staff members on, so we're looking at like 32 people then, okay? But that's only if social distancing guidelines can still be adhered. So my the configuration of my restaurant with my tables, it just, I couldn't even do 50% capacity if I had to adhere, if we have to adhere to social distancing guidelines, just because of the space itself. So the outside aspect would actually be more beneficial to us being able to utilize the outside. So what we might think about doing then is, if that's the case, is we could easily just do more classes and go back to that and certain aspects on that to help supplement the money if we can't do the indoor dining like we normally do.
So when the city of Milwaukee announced the reopening, many restaurants had varied responses on both ends of the spectrum. And I'm wondering about the response that you've had from customers after you posted your decision to remain closed for dine-in services.
It's been really supportive, like really, really, really supportive. I would say it's been like 95% great and 5% not. And it depends. It's funny because since I'm a business owner, I'm not allowed to have an opinion. But I do anyways, because that's just who I am. And I feel like I'm more than welcome to have an opinion just like anyone else. I care about my staff and I care about my customers. And for me, I'm people over profit always. Right now, if I can sustain my business like this, it's not ideal. But if I can do it and if I'm smart about it, I should just keep doing this for as long as I have to until, you know, I call it like we're riding the wave and we're just going to see how long this is, you know, how long we can physically do this to until I'm forced to physically have to open my doors again. Because I don't want to get sick. I don't want my staff to get sick. I look at, you know, health insurance and things like that. Like majority of the restaurant industry doesn't have health insurance. They can't afford to get sick. You know, if someone would have to like get sick and go on a ventilator, I mean, what, and they come out of that, the amount of debt that they would be in just from that. And, you know, me being a very small business owner, trying to afford health insurance for my staff has been a battle. And I've been working with other business owners on it. It's been always a thing that we have talked about, like trying to be able to do these things and afford these things for our staff. But just like when you're looking at, we as a restaurant have a 3-4% profit margin. That's not a lot. So you think about, you know, if you bring in $30,000 a month, you're looking at 3% of that as your profit after your rent is paid and your bills are paid and your staff is paid. So then it's like, try to add health insurance on top of that. From an employer perspective, then you're going down there more. Now you want to say, okay, well, then you could raise your prices. Well, that's great. But then if you raise your prices, are you still going to maintain the same level of business from the same customers? They're not going to understand why you're raising your prices. They're just going to see a price increase. So it's really hard to like try to figure out a good balance. But like I said, for me, it's more so just trying to keep everyone safe, because I don't know what I would do. I don't know that, you know, I mean, I don't like to think that we're all healthy and that we'd all make it out of this, but you just don't know. And that's the scary thing about this, is you don't know who will have mild symptoms or who will end up hitting it really hard.
AJ Dixon is the chef and owner of the restaurant Lazy Susan in Bayview. She spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski.